Hello, podcast listener. Did you know that you're a unique kind of person? Because, well, mostly to people that tune into this show, either watch it live or watch the video. There's a whole video section that goes along with the audio feed. If you're interested in doing that, head on over to techdudesgadget.net/live. Otherwise, I want to let you know really quick before the show starts about a quick coupon special that we have going on. If you enter in the code podcast to become an insider, you get a 1 month free trial, no credit card required. Head on over to technewsgadget.net/insiders and use the code podcast to take advantage of your 1 month free trial today. On with the show. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 and more coming up on today's free episode of The Latest in Tech News. You're welcome. Hello, and welcome to The Latest in Tech News. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick. This is the world's only 3-in-1 daily show on everything tech, gadgets, and gaming news as brought to you by Tech News Gadget. And yes, the day of this recording is Thursday, so this is one of the rare free shows that you, as the general public, get access to. The insiders get access to all the other shows, but Thursday we like to make a special exception. So if you're watching, welcome. If you're new here, welcome as well. Feel free to chat with us during the live show. We'd love to hear your thoughts, and make sure you click that follow button so that you can be notified when we go live. And if you're tuning in via the podcast, tap that subscribe button so that you don't miss out on the latest episode. And be sure to leave a review while you're at it, or a 5-star rating to be great. But do keep in mind that the podcast is about a day behind, and you really should be joining us live over at mixer.com/technewsgadget. Now, if you're watching the rebroadcast of this show, over at Facebook, Twitch, or YouTube, currently not monitoring the chat, or it's currently disabled, so feel free to grab a snack and enjoy the show. Finally, we are on Discord, where you can send us your questions, rants, or suggestions, or all of them, or one of them, take your pick, both during or after the show. Visit technewsgadget.net/discord to get your free invite today. And sorry if you happen to hear any crying in the background, it's my week and a day old daughter, hasn't figured out microphones and recordings and all that stuff that goes along with being a baby. She's a baby. Maybe she knows better. Maybe she's just trying to become popular. We'll find out. Octavius, I thought you figured out the commands for muting the, he didn't. Octavius is my pet octopus, and, for lack of a better term, he's supposed to be my producer. Lack of a better term. Get it? Because you don't really do anything. You just sit around and you don't do much. You go, hey, I hang out on a Discord server. That's what he says. I don't see it. Wow, baby is not happy. I'm sure she'll be fine. She's probably fussy because either she has a messy diaper or she's tired. Or all of the above. And she's just a baby and she doesn't know how to use words yet. So that's kind of frustrating. I try to get Octavius on that, to help baby progress with, you know, the English language. But apparently the best that he could get out was wah, which I don't know what that means, because baby. So yeah. It's been difficult. But you want to know what's not difficult? Well, you unlocking the greatest power in the universe. You want to know how you can do that? By becoming an insider today. It's true. For only $9.95 a month, you can become an insider and unlock the entire video archives of the show. Granted, today's show is free, but you get access to the entire video archives, along with an exclusive Discord server role and more. But if you upgrade to $99 annually, you get everything you just heard, plus your choice of an Octavius plush, coffee mug, or t-shirt. Right now, you can unlock a 1 month free membership if you use the coupon code LIVE during checkout. For more details and to enroll, visit technewsgadget.net/insiders after the show. Don't forget the coupon code LIVE to unlock your true insider today. So, let's move on to today's tech news. But before we do, we always have to take a look back in history just to appreciate a little bit of where we come from before we get to the news, shall we? So, being that today is October 11th, 2018, on this day in history, in 1958, NASA launches the Pioneer 1, which was the first spacecraft launched by the newly formed space agency. Originally intended to fly by the moon, a launch malfunction due to a programming error caused Pioneer 1 to only attain a ballistic trajectory, which caused it to fall back to the Earth after 43 hours of flight. However, some useful scientific data was returned by the spacecraft, and obviously they integrated it and used it on down the road. So, with that out of the way, and with baby making a fuss in the background, let's head on over to today's tech news of the day, shall we? Oh, no. Oh, there it is. Okay, I was wondering why it didn't show up. First up on the docket today is Blizzard selling a LEGO Bastion model right now. And yes, it's true. LEGO and video games have now created the most epic crossover event in history. The power of LEGO and Blizzard Entertainment combined, some hot new Overwatch merchandise is upon us. Blizzard is now selling the LEGO Omnic Bastion set, as you can see in the video here, which has 182 pieces. You can buy it for $25, order it right now through Blizzard's online store. If you are attending the upcoming BlizzCon fan gathering next month, you'll also have the option to purchase it at that time as well. BlizzCon begins November 2nd and runs through November 3rd at the Anaheim Convention Center. The Bastion set is a Blizzard exclusive, which means it will not be showing up at retailers like Target. The model stands 4 inches tall and represents Bastion's robot mode. You even get to build Bastion's avian sidekick, Ganymede. I never figured out how to pronounce that name properly, so sorry if I didn't. But there you go. You can have the bird and the robot. Have at it, as you will. Also in the news today, Sony is finally allowing PSN ID changes, but there's a catch. Now, for those of you wondering, in the midst of all this PlayStation 5 announcement news going on, I remember I teased earlier in the week somehow that the PlayStation Network will be allowing ID changes soon, and well, now we finally have the rest of the news. This comes to us from Forbes.com, and Sony is finally giving in to the PlayStation community on a long-held request by throngs of gamers who made a big mistake when they first chose their PlayStation Network IDs. Soon, gamers will be able to change their PlayStation IDs for the very first time, to which I say thank you very much, because the first ID I picked was, I don't know, I thought it was going to be fun, it turns out it wasn't, and then I was like, well, wait, why don't I just change it? Oh, no, I can't change it, it's stupid. Apparently a lot of people didn't realize it was an issue until recent rumors about this move began recirculating. After all, I guess apparently a lot of you folks, minus me, chose your gaming ID perfectly years ago, didn't mess up on it, and works out great, even until today. But I guess that's not the case for everybody. Now people have been clamoring about it for a long time, and Sony is now announcing that fantasy becoming reality. The unwashed masses won't have access to the PlayStation ID change feature just yet. However, first the program is going to be tested and only available to select users who have participated in other early release programs. Once it's rolled out to all PlayStation 4 users, gamers will be able to change their PlayStation ID as many times as they'd like. But here's where the catch comes into play. The first time you do it is free, but after that you'll need to pony up $10 to change your name, but if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber, you only got to pay $5. Another fact worth noting is that not all games will recognize your ID change. Along with that, you can either have the option to either display your new ID only, or your new ID followed by your older ID, kind of like in like a lower grayed out section where people can go, oh, that's so-and-so, but he changed his name to that now. Okay, well, that's still the same guy, and then send you a friend request. But that method, when selected, is either permanent, depending on whichever way you go. I also found out further news that regarding this PlayStation ID change feature, it's in testing right now. They're actually planning on releasing this at the beginning of 2019, and going forward from there, you'll have the option of future retail games being able to recognize this ID change. Apparently, it's something that you have to integrate to the games. Who knew? But last I heard, probably January 1st of 2019, PlayStation users should be able to change their ID. Finally. Unless you're obviously in a beta test, in which you're tested and it's probably fine. I don't know. Why do you got a beta test about it? Oh, look, I just changed my username. How difficult is that? I mean, can we just, like, go and talk to other companies? Big companies? Medium and big companies? Like, competitors to us and say, how difficult is it to really exactly change your name, like your ID name, and then go, oh, but wait, Blizzard's been doing that for, like, ever, and, like, I'm sure you could probably do it with, like, Epic Games and, like, that Fart Knife stuff, that video game, and you could probably do it on PUBG, like, no problem. You could probably do it on, like, Black Ops, or if you have, like, the computer version of it. You could probably do it, like, really easy, but, like, that's really difficult, because I don't know how you do it. Well, rejoice, PlayStation users. Sony is finally catching up to 2018. Thank goodness. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Also happening in the tech news industry, the PC market apparently is flat as Surface becomes a top 5 computer brand in the United States. Kind of interesting. Microsoft was the 5th biggest PC maker in the U.S. in the third quarter of this year, according to industry advisory firm Gartner. The top spot in the U.S. belongs to HP, with about 4.5 million machines sold, ahead of Dell at 3.8 million, Lenovo at 2.3, and Apple at 2. Ironically, the top three has usually been fought over between HP, Dell, and Lenovo, so don't really consider much of any movement going on there. But the gap between 4th and 5th is pretty big. Microsoft sold only 0.6 million Surface devices last quarter, but it suggests that Microsoft PC division is heading in the right direction, with sales 1.9% higher than the same quarter last year. The company pushed down to 6th place was Acer. Current quarter should be better still. The Surface Pro, Surface Laptop, and Surface Studio have all been given hardware refreshes, which, when combined with the always busy holiday season, should stimulate higher sales. Globally, both Gartner and IDC reported a flat PC market, really up only 0.1% in Gartner's view and down 0.9% in IDC's after the previous quarter's modest growth. Both companies agree that the top three slots are held by Lenovo, HP, and Dell, and usually in that order, but they subsequently disagree and usually bounce around there. IDC has Acer in fourth, slightly ahead of Apple in fifth. Gartner has Apple on fourth, well ahead of Acer in fifth, and Asus in sixth. The two companies have differing views on what a PC is. IDC covers notebooks, including Chromebooks, as well as desktops and workstations, but it excludes tablets, including those such as the Surface Pro. Now, Gartner includes desktops and workstations, notebooks, and premium ultra-mobile devices, which means it does include Surface Pro, but not the iPad, but unlike IDC, it excludes Chromebooks. So, differing opinion because it's based off a different study. I don't know. What exactly is the Surface? Surface Laptop, Surface Studio, Surface Pro. I don't know. Kind of a mixture of a combination, kind of difficult to how to describe it. It really depends on how you use it. And really, Microsoft did a great job putting this product out. It seemed to fill a niche, a little void that there was in terms of people who are like, well, I don't need a laptop exactly all the time, but I don't need a tablet exactly all the time, but I want something big enough and strong enough and powerful enough so that if I want to play a game, I could, but if I want it for a tablet for other stuff and work, I could do that as well. So it's actually doing pretty well. I'm fairly certain that a lot of this is used in a lot of freelance work and graphic design to some extent, as well as like more corporate and like workstation enterprises, as opposed to having a person have to sit down with a desktop and a monitor and everything to deal with there. So there you have it. PC market is flat, but it's usually not much of a big deal, but it's slightly growing. So, now getting a little bit out of the PC market and tablet market, you guys want to hear about smartphones? Well, talked about a smartphone yesterday. Razer built the phone that gamers deserve. Here's why. It also has RGB lights. Did you know that there's a video that goes along with this? For those of you podcast listeners who are listening to this show right now, matter of fact, if you go over to technewsgadget.net and you look at the show notes for this episode, there should be an option for the free video, and you can actually watch this entire show with the video, pictures, and everything else included there for free because it's Thursday, so enjoy, guys. But keep in mind that the insiders get all of this all the time. Oh, and by the way, one more plug, sorry. We do have a giveaway going on. The giveaway is to win an annual one-year subscription to become an insider, along with a custom exclusive Tech News Gadget coffee mug. You can drink any beverage in it you want, not just coffee. For information on that and to enter, entry is closed Saturday, October, let me check, October 13th. So get your entries in before then, and you have a chance to win in this weekly giveaway. Just go to technewsgadget.net/giveaway to enter today. Now, talking about Razer and this next generation smartphone, more of a gaming phone. First time you test something, you check out its design, you try out all new features, but even after an hour or more, the device doesn't feel as familiar as something you own and use every day. And yet, the first time the reviewers sat down and played around a PUBG Mobile on this Razer Phone 2 that we're looking at, well, they finished with a chicken dinner, which means they won. Was it me or was it the phone, they wondered. I'm still not sure, but here's how Razer's gaming phone has evolved for its second tour. At first glance, and especially from the front, the Razer Phone 2 looks almost identical to the original model. But upon closer inspection, you'll notice that the front and rear cameras are in different locations, and while in the back, Razer has swapped out the metal backing for glass. These two things hint at major improvements on the Razer Phone 2 that should be a boon to all users and not just gamers. By taking advantage of the glass back, Razer Phone added wireless charging, while the new camera modules offers improved photography, including built-in optical image stabilization, faster autofocus, and enhanced HDR. I understand for those of you camera users, camera heads, is that what we call you? You're probably drooling right now. It's okay. This is a big deal because blurry, lackluster images were one of the biggest complaints about Razer's first phone. Even though it's made for gamers, there's no excuse for skimping on the traditional phone duties. The other big change is the addition of RGB lighting. As you know, Razer loves to make lighting. LED peripherals, headsets, mouse pads, mice, keyboards, you name it, it glows. Last year it seemed preposterous that Razer made a gaming phone without flashy colored lights, but now it's here, and it's not purely just for show. Thanks to Razer Chroma integration via a new mobile app, those RGB lights can be programmed to blink and pulse different colors depending on the situation. You can program it to flash blue when you get a text, or red if you get an email from your boss, and because the app works by analyzing your notifications, there's essentially an endless amount of customization that you could do. Ooh, look at that. Oh, there's photos? You guys want to see photos? We got photos. Yeah, look at the photos. Oh, I should probably get my head out of the way. There you go. Unlike its predecessor, the Razer Phone 2 still has a home button with a built-in fingerprint reader on its side. We're looking at one photo of it here. Another angle of it. And yes, those are actual, that's the actual lighting on the back of it. We're not fooling around here. There's a photo of the top of the camera. Photo of the bottom of the charging pad. Yeah. Still no headphone jack, though. You will get a dongle in the box that you can use. Geez. So, yeah, it's kind of the way that phones have been moving anyways. Inside, the Razer Phone 2 has also been upgraded with a beefier spec, so for those of you spec heads, here you go. Including a Qualcomm Snapdragon 845 chipset, 8 gigs of RAM, and new dual stereo speakers with Dolby Atmos tech. That's the same tech that they use in the movie theaters when you're sitting there watching the next Avengers movie. As gaming on a phone tends to lead to toasty phones, Razer even crammed a massive vapor chamber cooling system about the size of a business card into the phone so that you don't have to worry about overheating. Thankfully, Razer didn't mess with the 120Hz LCD screen or the big 4000mAh battery from last year's handset, which were innovative, category-defining features that made the idea of a gaming phone intriguing in the first place. Now, though, the screen is significantly brighter with a claimed peak output of 645 nits versus 350 nits on the original, and with Gorilla Glass 5 in front for increased toughness. In fact, the Razer Phone 2 as a whole should be much easier to live with due to the addition of IP67 water resistance. So yeah, it's water resistant. How about them games? Well, when you got everything going, the 120Hz screen still impresses. It makes everything look crisp, even on games like PUBG that are normally capped at 60 frames per second on a phone. Better believe it. And due in part to the success of last year's device, Razer says that it has even more game developers looking to partner up and add better support for displays with higher refresh rates. Along with the Chroma app for controlling the phone's lighting, Razer has also created Cortex, an app which serves as a place to both tune games to your preferred settings and performance and discover new ones based on the kind of titles you already enjoy. So, there you go. Well, the big potential downside to all this is that the Razer Phone 2 ain't cheap. It starts at $800 for the slick glass-backed model seen above and 64 gigs of storage, or $900 for a model with a matte glass back and 128 gigabytes of storage. Pre-order starts tomorrow on October 12th, with shipments scheduled to go out sometime late October or early November. So, there you have it. Another phone for you gamers to drool over. Alright, well, time for some Pokemon Go news. We haven't heard a lot of news in a while, but apparently there's a big update coming, and, there's a potential nerf coming, and it's not looking good for Blissey. Blissey could soon be losing its top spot as the metagame shakeups happen. Apparently Niantic has said, we've had enough with all these Blissey characters. What they first decided to do was change it so that you couldn't put multiples of the same Pokemon in the gym. So you couldn't have five Blisseys in a row. You used to. Oh my goodness, that was difficult. So then they limited to only one kind of Pokemon. So you can only have one Blissey, one Pikachu, one Mankey, one Machop, you know. And apparently that wasn't good enough. But keep in mind that competitive Pokemon Go players are anticipating a major upcoming upheaval in the battle scene, thanks to Niantic's announcement that intends to rebalance the game. The developer has already hinted at what kind of changes it's planning on making, and it sounds like they're aimed at kicking the best gym defenders out of their top spots. Changes to Pokemon effectiveness in battle that Niantic is working on include adjustments to HP, defense, and stamina points. Those last two are the most crucial for players who are used to maintaining control over gyms indefinitely. Although it's stupid, why would you want to do that when you can only get capped out 50 coins after 8 hours, and it really doesn't matter? Just get kicked out of the gym after 8 hours. You don't need to hold on to it any longer than that. You don't get any more coins. I've had this rant on more than one occasion with my wife, with my brother-in-law, and my sister, my brothers, and they seem to agree. It's like, well, why do you need to stay in the gym any longer than 8 hours? Because at that point, then you get capped at 50 coins anyways, so why don't you just get kicked out of the gym and replaced anyways? I mean, come on. Well, Pokemon defense and stamina values will be retroactively rebalanced, allowing highly defensive Pokemon to be valuable in battle by outlasting opponents rather than simply running out the clock. Oh boy, that's the big change. When gym battlers read this, the first thing that came to mind was Blissey will be nerfed, no doubt. Blissey, the second-gen evolution of Chansey, doesn't seem like much of a tank to an outsider. She's a smiling, pink, egg-like thing who's here to heal, not hurt. But that's still true in Pokemon Go, and what Blissey lacks in attack power and defensive skills, though, she has more than makes up for with an unmatched amount of stamina and high HP. I can name about two other Pokemon who also match this. Blissey has the highest stamina of any other currently available Pokemon at 510. She is also capable of reaching a higher health cap and combat power than most other Pokemon. That makes her a popular choice to defend gyms, and where she won't really fight back, her offense is weak, but she also won't get anywhere close to dying before the clock runs out. Now, as a result, Blissey has terrorized and annoyed players since the arrival of Gen 2 Pokemon. A well-placed Blissey, position 5 to 8 maybe, in a level 10 gym can be annoying, since you will end up battling it many, many times and use many, many potions, and you can't beat it in 30 seconds with the right attacker like many other defenders. Plus, you have to bring more people in just to help beat it down quick enough. So unless it's a player with a lot of time and resources, or they come with a team to attack, it's a pretty good turn. So when reading that Niantic was going to shake up how stamina works in gym battles, of course, players began to elaborate, well, how exactly is this going to work? They're all been cheering, saying, can't wait for Blissey to be worthless. Best part of this meta change in Pokemon Go is all the tears coming from people who are overly reliant on Blissey as a gym defender. Your tears are so sweet and delicious, truly they sustain me. Only thing that makes this better is abilities or weather wars. Although, if you're one of those people who sunk a lot of time and started us into Blissey so that you could hold down your gym, well, sorry about that, but come on, guys, you knew change was coming. You're not going to leave it like this. You're going to get bored. I mean, a Pokemon Go update is likely coming soon, especially with Gen 4 Pokemon promised to be on the way. We don't know when the clock will run out on Blissey's time as the game's top defender, so enjoy it while it lasts, because finally, everybody else will be able to get in the stinking gym, and we don't have to worry about kicking the stupid Blisseys out. Hallelujah. Finally, as most of you know, if you don't know already, Call of Duty Black Ops 4 release date for here in the U.S. will be in a mere matter of hours. We've been waiting with bated breath for the game to come out. For those of you in Australia, lucky, don't spoil it. Don't tell anybody about it already. Lucky. And Europe, same goes for you guys. But yeah, so here's what we know so far. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 continues the franchise's history of explosive multiplayer first-person shooter combat. Old mechanics and features return, such as a fan-favorite zombie mode, but the game is implementing several changes to the Black Ops formula. We've compiled everything we know about Black Ops 4 so far, and will continue to update this post as we discover more about the game. So if you're watching this right now, This is an article that comes to us from GameSpot. It'll be in the show notes for today's episode, so just scroll down to it and you can click on a Call of Duty Black Ops for everything we know, and it'll take you right to the post and you can read everything you want. We'll cover a little bit about it here, maybe a video or two, but other than that, let's dig in, shall we? Black Ops has a pretty lengthy history. The first, releasing in 2010, takes place during the Cold War in the 1960s, switching between CIA operatives Alex Mason and Frank Woods. 2012's Black Ops 2 moved the story to 2025, following Axe's son, David Mason. 2015's Black Ops 3 continued the previous game's journey into the future and followed operatives in 2065. The first Black Ops featured the first playable protagonist in a Call of Duty game to speak during gameplay and not just cutscenes. Its sequel introduced the grief and turn variations to Call of Duty Zombies mode. The third game was the first Call of Duty title where Activision and Sony's partnership created limited time exclusive DLC content for PlayStation consoles. But what really is Black Ops 4? Well, Black Ops 4 is the seventh Call of Duty game developed by Treyarch, one of the many video game companies under the Activision umbrella. The game is the first Call of Duty title to lack a traditional single-player campaign, instead including individual missions that each focus on the backstory of one of Black Ops 4 multiplayer specialists. The feature is similar to the operator missions from Rainbow Six Siege, but are more story-driven and tied together in an overarching plot. The missions take place between 2025 and 2065, making Black Ops 4 a sequel story to Black Ops 2 and a prequel to Black Ops 3. But do keep in mind that there isn't an actual single-player campaign story mode. Rumor has it is coming in a DLC sometime down the road. Release date for Call of Duty Black Ops 4 launches on October 12th for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. The game has a fairly large day one update, so make sure your system of choice has enough hard drive space. And if you did play in the beta for Blackout, don't delete that file, because that's actually the file that's going to be used to build on top of everything else. So it'll save you 50 gigabytes of download space if you already have it downloaded. If you deleted it, why did you delete it? You knew the game was coming out. You pre-ordered it. We try and tell you these things for a reason. I thought you liked Call of Duty. What, do you hate them? But if you do pre-order, whether you order the Special Deluxe, Digital Deluxe, Pro, and Mystery Box editions, you can pre-order them, and you can begin pre-downloading them right now so that when the time hits and the game goes live, you can just turn on a button and hit to play, and then you don't have to worry about downloading again. So, let's look at the multiplayer maps and specialists. What is this? The game? I don't know. For the first time in a Call of Duty game, Black Ops 4 ditches health regen, so keep in mind that firearms employ both hit scan and projectile damage instead of just the former in the game's new ballistic systems. Predictive recoil patterns and weapon customization return together, it makes for a more tactical experience that promotes teammates working together instead of playing as a lone wolf or being stuck in some building fiasco where you have to build up in the air at like 500 meters, shoot a guy, and then fall to your death. And why would you want to do that anyways? Several classic Call of Duty modes, including Zombies, return in Black Ops 4, but the game also features the series' first Battle Royale mode called Blackout. And in Blackout, you don't have to worry about it being like Fortnite, because you're not going to be building up or doing anything. All you do is you land, you run around, you find your weapons, you shoot the people, you be the last one surviving, and you win the game. So that's how that works. Black Ops 4 is launching with four multiplayer maps, which are Frequency, Contraband, Seaside, Payload, Ascendia, Gridlock, Arsenal, Icebreaker, Morocco, Militia, Jungle, Slums, Firing Range, and Summit. In November, the Call of Duty classic map Nuketown will be launching for free, making a comeback, making a total of 15 maps in the base game. More maps will launch later as a post-paid launched DLC. Just like its predecessor, Black Ops 4 will feature specialists in multiplayer. Each specialist has their own unique loadout and is designed to handle specific tasks. Now, there are 10 in Black Ops 4, 6 of which, Ruin, Prophet, Battery, Seraph, Nomad, and Firebreak, are returning from Black Ops 3. The other 4, which are Recon, Ajax, Torque, and Crash, are completely new to the series, so if you already are familiar with the old ones, I want you to load out in a new one and see how that goes. A little bit about Blackout. Blackout incorporates all the battles of previous Hallmark Battle Royale games. Up to 100 players drop into a map and have to battle it out until one player or team remains. Weapons and equipment can be scavenged from buildings, and vehicles can be found on the road and used across the map more quickly. The safe area where players can survive gradually shrinks over time, forcing the survivors closer and closer together until you wind up with something kind of similar to a line of
Hunger Games much. At least it's not blocky characters shooting each other with bow and arrows going, I shot him once, but I stupid lagged and I couldn't figure out how to hit him. He was standing right in front of me and he hit me with a diamond sword. Because this is Call of Duty, dudes. The mode, Blackout, can be played solo, duos, or with squads. It's a little different from games like PUBG and Fortnite. For once, the map in Blackout is fairly large and encompasses a wide variety of different terrains and landscapes instead of focusing on a single theme like a forest or desert. It's the largest battlefield seen in any of Call of Duty games, incorporating numerous landmarks and Easter eggs from past titles. There's also a slight PvE element to Blackout, as computer-controlled zombies wander around certain areas of the map, guarding typically higher and better gear loot. Killing them lets you earn special loot items from Call of Duty Zombie Mode, like the Ray Gun and the Symbol Monkey. The Symbol Monkey is actually kind of funny, because you can take it and you can throw it in the middle of where all the zombies are, and then it'll go, ugh, and they'll turn around and they'll start looking at it, and you can shoot them in the back of the head, which is nice, but then also keep in mind that loud noise and you shooting probably will attract a whole bunch of more people to where your area is, and probably try to kill you and steal your loot. A little bit about zombies. The Cooperative Zombies mode returns in Black Ops 4, but this time it features two separate storylines for you to play. First, titled Aether, follows the re-established zombies storyline from the first three Black Ops games. The second, called Chaos, features new characters who are Scarlet, Stanton, Diego, and Bruno. There you go. There's that. And then exclusive PlayStation 4 content. Like they've done in recent years, they will have content that's exclusive to the PlayStation 4 for a limited time. This exclusivity period includes all seasonal events, new specialists, and post-launch multiplayer maps. However, instead of the PlayStation 4 having a 2 to 4 week head start on the other system, the console will only have exclusive access to post-launch content a week early, and then everybody else gets to play. So, there you have it. There's the brief rundown of Call of Duty Black Ops 4. Exciting? Yes? No? Let us know in the comments or on our Discord. So, I think that about wraps up all of that tech news goodness for you guys. Did you get enough Black Ops 4? Well, if you didn't, it's probably because you're playing it right now, in which case, congrats. I hope you have a good time and winner chicken dinner. Or, you have fun shooting them up into zombies mode. Take your pick. And with that, that wraps up today's episode of the latest in tech news. If we happen to miss something on the show or something that you want us to keep you informed on, be sure to let us know in either the live chat or on our Discord server. Don't forget to redeem that code that I talked about earlier over at technewsgadget.net/insiders. That will do it for this episode of the latest in tech news. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick. For the latest in tech, gadgets, and gaming news, be sure to head on over to technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.